made, dear God, Lord. There's others, Lord, they're out tonight. You know, Lord, their needs. I pray you'll supply them, dear God. I pray for Brother Neil and Sister Brenda, dear God, that you'll touch them, Lord, and make them well, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You say praise the Lord. Amen. That's all I'm singing I'm going to do tonight. I want to read from the scriptures tonight, Judges chapter 16. I want to read verses 27 and 28 to take our text. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I might be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. You may be seated. Just once more, Lord. Just once more, Lord. You know, the Bible tells us about 3,000 Philistines was gathered there, and that this great Colosseum that they had, according to history, it was newly built. It wasn't an old college, it was a new building that had been built, and they had erected a statue to their god Dagon, who was a fish god, and this celebration was about this new Colosseum they had, and it was about them. Thank you, Brother Gene. It was about how they wanted to celebrate that their God had got victory over the God of Israel. And they wanted to celebrate this because this man that they had brought in, and we all know the story, but imagine them sitting there that day when they brought in this man, and perhaps there were people there that had never saw him before but had heard about him, and they had heard about things that he'd done. And when they saw him led in like he was by a little boy, as the scripture says, his eyes being put out, and he couldn't see and had to be led by the hand by a little child, why, no doubt they looked at him and said, could this surely be the man who's tormented us all this time? Maybe they're mistaken and got the wrong guy, because he surely didn't look like, in that state, didn't look like the one whose names had before stricken terror into their very hearts. And so they were watching as he come in, and no doubt they might have even recounted some of the battles they'd had with this man and said, is this the man who slew 1,000 of us in one day with the jawbone of an ass? And you know, you think about that bleached out, brittle jawbone, how would it have stood up to the armor and the helmets that was worn by that Philistine army? And 1,000 of them, one man against 1,000. But I'll tell you this, if the anointing of God is upon you, There's nothing can stand before you. The anointing of God was on Samson, and it didn't matter. He didn't have to have something special. He just reached around and took whatever he could get a hold of. And it just happened to be an old bleached out jawbone. And he just began hitting them. And with one blow, it would kill them. And he defeated 1,000 of them. But yet, they're looking at this man now, how he come in. And he looks nothing like the man who had beat them. He was, you know, it was, he still had the same muscles. He still had the same stature, but it was like having a machine that didn't have any power behind it. It was what it looked like, a great machine that didn't have any power. And I'll tell you what, that's the way the devil wants to get us, friends. I'll tell you something. This bride, the prophet said, is an invincible army. Why? Because we're powerful? No, because the power of God rests upon us. And just as it rests upon Samson, and Samson was able to do these feats that far surpassed understanding. Friends, it didn't even matter if he looked like a, Brother Branham said he was just as, wasn't that big of a feller. But it wouldn't matter how he looked. If he was muscle bound and was 6'7", it wouldn't have mattered. Not one man could beat 1,000 men. I don't care how big and muscular he was. So it was beyond reasoning, beyond thinking. And I want you to know tonight that it's beyond reasoning and beyond thinking how much power that you as a child of God has. With the anointing and blessings of God resting upon you, there's nothing can stand in your way. Now the devil, here he had got Samson beat down. And you know, that's just what the devil likes to do. If he can get you where it looks like you're whipped, why, he'll make fun of you. That's what they were doing. But if the blessings of God are upon you, well, I'll tell you this, the devil's afraid to say anything. He's afraid to make a move against you. But see, he's a big bluff. And he'll try to bluff us out of what we have. It doesn't matter. Friends, look, it doesn't matter if, and I'll use this illustration tonight. It doesn't matter if you had a 45 and had the thing loaded. If you never pulled the trigger, it wouldn't do you no good. You understand what I'm saying? If you're faced against an enemy and bullets was flying at you, if you never pulled the trigger, that gun ain't doing you no good. And it's the same thing with the power of God, the victory. Friends, look, Satan had been defeated today. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. He's off, the battle's already won. The victory is here. But what we've got to do is step up into it and claim it. And I'll tell you, there's times the devil can get you knocked down. We know that we know what got Samson in this state. Samson got to messing around with the woman. And Samson got to a place to where he thought no matter what happened or no matter what he done, he could call on his great strength and he could get himself out of any mess that he was in. I've got an old Bible at home about falling apart when I first started preaching. And this particular chapter, I got it all marked up. I preached out of it so many times over the years. You say, how many different ways can you preach it? I don't know. I ain't found all of them yet. But I have often thought as I read it, what was Samson thinking? Whenever time Delilah would tell him, where's your great power lie? And he would tell her something. Why, if you buy me with ropes that are brand new ropes that have never been used, why then all my... And she'd do just exactly that. And then say the Philistines are upon you, and he'd jump up and they'd burst off of him. Everything that he told her, she tried it. What was in his mind? But see, he kept playing around with this thing. You can't play around with Satan. You can't play around with the world and think, well, I'll just be able to shake this off. We know what, and the thing that got Samson in that state, the very thing can get us in that state tonight. But not only that, I want to point to something else. It doesn't take for Satan to get us in a defeated mind. It doesn't take us sinning or us playing around in the world. All it takes is for you to take a little bit of doubt in and let that thing sit there and think about it. Or take in a thought. Sometimes you could take in a thought that maybe you think somebody was thinking a certain thing about you. And then you keep dwelling on that and you keep thinking, well, and then finally, well, who are they to think this about me? And then it just keeps going and until you get all cankered up with it. I've seen it happen. I've seen people think that I thought a certain thing or that I was doing a certain thing. And later when I got a time to be with them, I told them, no, I never thought no such thing. Why, then they look, you know, when that ever happens to you, well, then you look at yourself and think, how foolish am I to be imagining something that never even was there and being defeated by my imagination. So it doesn't, like I'm telling you, it doesn't take doing what Samson did to get into a defeated state. Your imagination can get you into a defeated state. You just get to imagining. Sometimes misunderstanding can get you in that state. Why is them little things like that get us in such a state? Because we let them sit there and fester. And we keep thinking about them, and we keep talking about them, and we keep boiling over it, and we just keep looking at it, and we won't let it go. We just hang on to it. That's why little things like that can get to us. But also, get hit with sickness and illness. I don't care. You know, you say, Brother Jerry, you're preaching a message such as this, and yet we've seen you going through a battle look like you were losing. Well, I'll tell you what, the devil was sure trying to kick me around. But it wasn't because that I got out away from God. It was because that I was afflicted with something from the enemy. And I'll tell you something, friends, he'll work on your mind. I don't care if it's a heart condition, he'll work on your mind. I don't care if it's sugar diabetes, he'll work on your mind. I don't care what it is, he'll work. You get a pain somewhere and watch the devil go working on your mind saying what it might be. I had a headache come on me, shooting up in the back of my head, and it just wouldn't go away. And I got to thinking, Brother Todd, what if there's an aneurysm about to blow in my head? I checked my blood pressure. My blood pressure was okay. I spent $500 for them to run a CT scan on my head. Yeah, you know, now we got auto insurance on our bodies. There's a $500 deductible on mine I got to pay. Cost me $500 to get them to put that scan on my head. And when it was all done, they still didn't know what in the world it was. Said, we can't find nothing. And I thought, well, I sure hope that $500 a piece was worth it. Might get to worrying maybe I had something that was going to blow off of my head. You know, here's the thing. Why worry about it? If it's going to do it, it's going to do it. Worrying about it ain't going to stop it. But that's the way the devil wants to get us. We get a pain somewhere, next thing you know, we think we're going to lose our leg. He works on our imagination. He works on our fears. Fear is the biggest thing that I've found that gets people in a defeated state before the enemy. Fear. I found that to be one of the things more than anything I've ever come against, come up to help people with, is fear. Fear gets on them. And they begin to fear. And the devil works on them fears. The devil knows us. He knows how we're made up. Sometimes in a family, daddy's a nervous fella. And it gets passed on to the kids, or mama's a nervous person. And it gets passed on to the kids and they're nervous. And the devil's done battled her all these years. And he says, well, if Junior's as nervous as they are, then I'll just work on him the same way. What's there to get nervous about? That's right. I tell you, I know I haven't kept you really up to date on what's going on with that court case we're involved in. But we were in court a week ago, and I'll tell you something, I was really nervous because of what the DA was trying to do. But then after our lawyer come talk to us, and then went and talked to the DA, and then come back and talked to us, and then went back and talked to the DA, and then come back and talked to us, and I had a peace. You know, I'll tell you something, friends. You know, often I've read where Brother Branham said, if you was going to have surgery, would you want the guy who come fresh out of school? If you were going to have open heart surgery, would you want to be his first surgery? No, you'd want somebody that was experienced. Somebody who knew something. Brother Branham said, that's why he said these churches want to get... He said these young men that ain't been through nothing want to put them up in a position of a pastor rather than just being a help minister in the church. He said, well, what's going to do when it comes to real sickness comes on? What's it going to do when the enemy really hits and you need somebody with some experience? And I thought about that, and he said, well, if you were going to have surgery, you'd want to get the best doctor you could. So when it come time for us to go to court, I told my wife, I said, I want to get the best lawyer we can get. And I had confidence in that lawyer. She's been a good lawyer over the years. She's proven herself time and time again. Well, I was praying for her. Last week, I was praying for her, the Lord would help her. And to use wisdom and how to help us. And I'll tell you what, I know she's a smart woman and I know she's one of the best lawyers there is, but I can tell you this, I also know that God was there and he helped her and helped us. Amen. You know, many times we think it takes something great big, you know, takes something great to overcome an enemy. But it don't take nothing great. All it takes is for you to be completely anointed with the power of God, completely anointed with the Holy Ghost. And look, friends, tonight, I know every time I preach, any preacher gets up here and begins to preach, why the devil... He wants to go to work at the same time. And he'll try to tell you over your shoulder, yep, but that ain't you. You ain't never had that power and you ain't never going to have it. Don't listen to him. God didn't send me here tonight to torture you. He didn't send me here tonight to torment you. He sent me here tonight to tell you, you have the power to overcome the enemy on every front. Everything he throws against you, you have the power. And I'll tell you something. Our help sometimes comes from the most simplest of things. I think about when they stopped, the disciples said they owed taxes. Where were they going to get money to go pay their taxes? How could they owe taxes when they didn't even have no money? What I wonder. Of course, that was the IRS of that day. But Jesus told them, go down, there's going to be a fish. And in the mouth of the fish was a coin. Said, take that and go pay for our taxes. Who could believe something like that? Friends, God's always there. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. You know, when they were looking at Samson, no doubt seeing him in that state, they might have thought, well, his God has forsaken him. But it wasn't God that had forsaken Samson. It was Samson who had forsaken God. Friends, when there's a problem with us, if there's a problem with our church, it isn't that God's forsaken us. The only problem could be with us. The problem ain't with God. The enemy, maybe they got to thinking, wives come out and said, was this the same man that carried the gates of Gaza on his back? Well, I sure don't look like he could do that. They tried to trap Samson that time, you know. And they shut the gates of the city on him and thought they'd be able to pounce on him in there. They had him shut in, you know, the city. But he just picked up the gates of the city and walked off with them. Amen. Why? Because the anointing of God was on him. He's not the only one that the devil tried to fence in. One time, the devil tried to fence in the Israel at the Red Sea. You remember that? He had them all fenced in there, blocked the sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them. And they thought, well, they had them. But then God does the impossible. I'll tell you, our problem is we think that our faith, we try to base our faith on what we can figure out. We try to take our faith and say, well, if I can figure out how God could do this, then I have faith he'll be able to do it. But you know what? Brother Bam said, when you take and make it to where God's going to do something a certain way in order for you to accept it as an answer to your prayer, he says, you've made God an idol. Hallelujah. Oh my. Whew. Hallelujah. I don't know, sometimes we get afraid of that somebody's going to say something about us or somebody's going to say something against us. Well, ain't no need to fear that because it's just going to happen anyway. That's right. People get worried about, say, well, out of a certain circumstance or a certain happening, why, you know, this person's saying this and that about me, and they've even spread it on to, you know, whatever, Facebook or whatever else, and said this or that. Don't worry about it. Satan tries to get us all worried about that because of how social media works. I'll tell you what, I know that we try to use social media for good, but I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of bad to it as well. But anything that comes off the tree of knowledge of good and evil has both good and evil. I don't care to let people know what I'm doing every moment of the day, and I really don't care what they're doing every moment of the day. I've read constantly in the news about young kids would go out and break the law and do something and then post it on Facebook. Next thing you know, sheriff's knocking at the door. You know, I had a cousin that he was out with some boys and they shot a deer out of season. And he took pictures. He didn't shoot the deer, but he took pictures and he posted on Facebook. Guess who got arrested? Not the ones that shot it. The big dummy who took the pictures and posted them. Yeah, we sure didn't let him live that down very, very soon. God, if people come, when people come against you, people say things and do things, here's the thing to remember, that you're the anointed of God, like I preached on Sunday. You're the anointed of God. And I'll tell you what, they're going to find out they're not dealing with a man or a woman. They're not dealing with a human being. They're going to find out they end up having God on their hands. And he's got a mighty heavy hand that he'll lay on them. My mother-in-law's got her own way of saying, you know, we read in the Bible, it says, whatsoever seed you sow, man soweth, that shall he reap. My mother-in-law always says, well, what goes around comes around. You know. And, you know, when people, they're the same things, whatever they do, it'll come upon them. If they go out running somebody down, why, then somebody else will be out there running them down. But let's not be that one doing it. No matter what they say about us, let's just let them go. Let them face God on their own, on God's terms, not ours. Like I said on Sunday, I'd never wish anybody anything bad on anyone. Never. But when they do something against God's people, why, they've just taken their own life in their hands and put it out there, and now it's in God's hands. Because they're not just coming, like I said, against an individual. You belong to God. You know, you think anywhere in the United States, down here in the South, y'all could relate and understand that. God gets kind of huffy when you mess with his kin. So, well, I guess if I say it in them terms, then all of a sudden you think, well, now I got it. Yes, sir. But you know, churches, you know, I've watched around here and watched one church added on up there on the hill. I won't call their name. They added on, made a bigger church, and added things into it. And next thing you know, church down here on the corner had to do a complete overhaul. They're competing one against the other. I was sitting in the eye doctor's office here a few weeks back, and there were some people come in and sit down, and they were talking, and the one couple that was sitting there, they was talking to this other woman, and they were talking about where they went to church. And the ones had said they went over here on Walnut Street, said they went over there for quite a number of times. They said, but then they quit going there. They stayed with the Church of Christ, but they quit going to that one. They went to a smaller one. They said that just got too big. It got so big, said, where nobody knowed anybody. And that's a problem down here. You know, we got to know everybody what's going on around us. That's part of living down here, you know. And they said, well, you just couldn't know everybody. And so they went to a smaller church. And then there was another woman coming there, sitting there, and they said, and there was two sisters then sitting there. And the one said, well, yeah, she goes to the Church of Christ. And then they said, what about her? And she said, that's my sister. Said, she goes to the Baptist. And said, well, we'll have to try to convert her, is what they said. But, you know, they come up with all these things, what they could do to attract more people. But I'll tell you something, it ain't about the numbers. It's about the power of God that's in the people. It don't matter how big the numbers are. If the power of God ain't there, it ain't doing them no good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to down people for them walking in all that they can see. No. If that's what they can see and what they do, then I just say, well, bless you. I don't look down my nose at them because, you know, friends, that could be me. And it's just by God's grace that I am where I am. And I don't never try to discourage anyone from serving God. I don't go around telling them, well, I'll tell you what, your church is just an old whore. I don't do things like that. That ain't going to help nobody. And it sure ain't going to win nobody. You turn them off by, well, like the man that went to a funeral, got in there, got amongst all the kinfolk in their funeral and told them their mother went to hell. Well, he just about didn't make it out of there. I've been called upon to go down to West Virginia and to hold some revival meetings down there for about a week. And so I want you to keep me in prayer. I'm going to leave tomorrow. But I'm be preaching to people that they ain't message believers. They're people that are trying to serve God the best they know how, and then they're in a community where they're sinners and they need to be reached. And somebody asked me, said, well, how do you preach to them? I said, well, I just don't say Brother Branham said it. I just say it. Yeah. You know, just put some honey out there and see what you can attract. Say things with love. Amen. And even when you got to say some things to burn their hide, still say it with love. Amen. A lot of times what I do when I'm preaching like that and I know something's going to scorch some hides, I look around and find the good amener and preach to them a while. And just let the chips fall where they may. But Samson, let's get back so we can close our story tonight. Samson, you know, did you ever think of maybe what Samson might have been thinking while this child was leading him out there? And Samson, in his mind, could remember defeating a lion. Samson, in his mind, he could remember the great things that God had done through him. And he was the servant of God. He was a messenger of that hour. He was a servant of God. You say, well, he got to messing around with this woman named Delilah, but that didn't change the fact that he was still God's man. It didn't change it. For the very thing that he had been raised up to conquer. The very thing that God had raised him up to defeat, he was now captive of it. What thoughts must have been going through his mind? I thought when they had him chained to that grist mill, him going around a circle grinding, what he must have thought day in and day out. No eyes, can't see. But here he comes out there, and they were all just in a big drunken, whooped up celebration about how their God had defeated Israel's God. And they were making fun of him and laughing at him and that, but they didn't really pay attention to where he was going. You know, people sometimes they can't see the trees for the forest, or the forest for the trees, however that saying is. They were watching him, but they at the same time they still wasn't paying attention. And the Bible says he told the little lad, said, "Lead me over to the columns that support this building." And the lad led him over there. And then Samson began to pray. And I think about this prayer. He said, "Just once more, Lord. Just one more time, God." I'll tell you, friends, I felt like I've been there. I couldn't feel the anointing on me. Where I couldn't feel the power of God. And yet God was still there all the time. And I wanted to feel it. And I wanted to feel free. And I think about that. And there might be somebody here tonight that's in that condition. And it's not that you got fooling around with the world or anything like that. But Satan somehow, through your mind or your imagination or through a sickness or through something, has got you into the defeated state. Sometimes, I tell you, I told you about fear, but Satan, he loves to work on people with their finances. Thinking, why, But you know what? God is God over that. Whatever we have need of, he said, we just ask him. He didn't say whatever we have need of, fret over it. He said, ask him. Ask and you shall receive. I'll tell you what, friends. Pardon me. Here about 8 years ago, I was really going through a crisis financially. And I didn't know which way was up. And I tell you what, I got beside myself over it. And then you get collectors calling you. And you want to pay, and you ain't got nothing to pay with. You ain't got enough to pay everybody. You got to decide who you're going to pay. And I'll tell you what, I got beside myself. And I remember sitting in my chair and just weeping. But then something got a hold of me. And I said, God has always took care of me. God's always took care of me. And somehow he'll see me through this. And I'll be honest with you, I tried to do it on my own. I tried, well, I'd get this company to do this or that or whatever, and I tried to do it on my own by going through this company that's supposed to help you with all these creditors and stuff like that. Why, all I was doing was paying them money and they wasn't doing nothing. I thought, well, I ain't got money to waste on them. But then when I just prayed about it, and I'll tell you what, I turned it over to God. That didn't mean I had to sit still. It meant when God told me to do something, how to take care of it, then I'd go take care of it that way. And I know what it's like. Look, I ain't only been in financial straits once since I've been here. People think I make a lot of money. Look, how big do you think this church really is? It's a small church. Small church. But you know what? You say, why you believe God sent you here? Yeah, because I'll tell you why. Because I won't get shook by those things. I don't need a great big church. I'm satisfied wherever God puts me at. All I want is a victorious church. Amen. I want people getting changed. I want people experiencing the word for our day. I want people experiencing the power of God. I want them having victory in their lives. I want them being victorious over the enemy. I know that I don't have to go through everything that you go through in order to help you. But I can tell you this, I sure have went through a lot. And I went through enough to where I can have compassion. I have a lot more compassion today than I had 18 years ago when the first time I come down here. And this next weekend would have actually been 18 years, the very first time I ever come and preached here. I preached on a Labor Day weekend here, and that was the first time I ever preached here. You remember it, don't you, Sue? And my family, we just all little kids. Now they're all grown up and got kids of their own. Boy. But you know, Samson said one more time. And I've got to a place where I said, Lord, I want to feel you again. I want to feel your presence, your power again. I want to feel victory again. But I'll tell you what, friends, it comes at a cost. If you want victory, it comes at a cost. You got to give your life. In order for Samson to have victory, he said, let me die here with my enemies. They said that he slew more in his death, killed more Philistines in his death than he did all the time he was living. And we've got to die out to ourselves. We got to die out to everything that would hinder us in our walk with God. We got to die out to it. It'll cost you. Victory has a cost. It comes at a cost. And that cost is your life. Surrender your life completely to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. What we want everything instant. People go down to McDonald's and complain because it took too long to get their food. It's fast food. When it first came out, people was amazed at how quick they got their food. Well, it ain't slowed down any. It's just people's got more impatient. You can't be impatient. Impatience and faith cannot coexist. If you're going to have faith, you're going to have patience. We want God to do everything instantly. God don't do it that way. Brother Benham said, everybody wants a miracle. Nobody wants divine healing because divine healing takes time. They want an instant miracle. But how much did Brother Branham preach about miracles? He didn't try to preach people into about miracles. Remember, the angel of the Lord even told him, said, if you keep up the way he was doing, said, you'll get to wild. People won't believe you unless you perform a miracle. But Brother Branham, what did he preach? Message after message talking about divine healing. Remember, he prayed for a woman. Prayed for these two women. They both lived up the same holler. And he prayed for them. They were sick. The one couldn't keep nothing down. She'd eat, everything just come right back up. She couldn't hold nothing down. And they had already been in the prayer line. They'd already been prayed for, and some time had passed, and it was getting around to about a month had passed, and she still couldn't eat, and the other woman, her sickness was still on her. And then one day, she sat down at the table and ate some breakfast. And what she ate stayed down. So she ate some more and it stayed down. She got all excited, was going to go tell her friend about it. And here come her friend telling her she had got healed. Went back to ask, they were asking Brother Branham about it. Brother Branham said, God dispatched the angel of healing when he prayed. But there was demons that that angel had to fight against to get to that holler. And he said what they were waiting on was the day for that angel to pass by. And he said in about a month, the angel passed by and they received their healing. That's divine healing. Yes. We want deliverance and we want it right now. We want an answer to our prayers right now. We want it to instantly turn around. But God wants our faith to increase. He wants us to know that He is the provider. He's the one that takes care of us. Amen. You got a job today. You got it because God gave you the strength. And God opened the doors. And God gives you the strength every day to go to work. I envy you. I don't say that lightly. I envy you. It'd be nice when I got off work to be able to go put my feet up and I'm done for the day. But it don't work that way. But I don't I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I couldn't be satisfied doing nothing else because this is what God made me to do. I've tried everything else. And I've had God bless what I put my hands to. But at every turn, I began to find out that whatever I was doing wasn't what God wanted me doing. And I didn't have any peace about it until I went full-time in the ministry. And then once I went full-time in the ministry, well, then I had peace about it. And it used to be, when I first started pastoring here, every year the devil would come around about November, December, and saying, boy, you ought to get you another job. You ought to get you another part-time job or another job to help out. And I'd get to thinking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And finally, my wife said, every year during this time, you get to talking about it. And you know what? I don't do that no more. That's because I got out there. Lord allowed me. And I got out there and I got me some part-time work and that. And I remember I worked for a month going around delivering these notices. She's shaking your head back there. She knows what I'm talking about. Delivering these foreclosure notices and things to people. And I'll tell you what, every dime I made, I had to spend buying new tires for my car for all the nails I ran over going up and inspecting these houses where people had to move out of them. They throwed roofing nails down in the driveway, in the gravel. I'll tell you what, roofing nail will stand upright. And a fella asked me when I took my car down, he says, where in the world were you driving at? But when I spent everything I earned that month buying the new tires, well, I said, well, Lord, I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson. All I did was spend time. Time, and I'll tell you what, it took a lot of time, put a lot of miles on my car, all the places I went. And I went, I found places that I didn't even know existed. And in some of them places, I thought if somebody killed me, they'd never, nobody ever know it. I'm serious about that. And Brother Leo, he tried it too. He told me he went to serve one place and it said, trespassers will be shot. And he said he drove up a little bit further, another sign that says, survivors will be shot again. He said he turned around and left. One more time. I'll tell you what, if you find yourself tonight, I need to close, let's stand. You say, Lord, let me feel your presence again. There was a young man that Satan had fooled him into thinking that he had sinned away his day of grace and God didn't want nothing to do with him. And I went and talked to him, and he told me, he said, I'll tell you how Satan works, he'll use quotes on you too. And he said, well, Brother Branham said, as long as you feel the pull, you ain't went too far. He said, brother, I don't feel the pull no more. And I said, if I can pray, and God will come down, and you'll feel his presence, will you accept that God is not done with you, and you ain't sinned away your day of grace, and that God's concerned about you? He said, yes, I will. And I prayed, and I'll tell you something, friends, in that place where I was at, why, the power of God just set right down in there. And it was just filled up the place where we was. It was just me and him there. And it just filled the place up with his presence and the power. Tears coming down his eyes. I'll tell you what, he knew then God cared about him. I asked God when I prayed, God, come down and wrap your arms around him here today. I'll tell you what, friends, that power was so strong in that place, it felt like it was just thick. It was just thick. And anytime Satan, you know, God will allow you sometimes to go through desert places. He'll allow you sometimes. I'll tell you what, you go through a desert place and you come out on the other end where it's raining and you'll rejoice. Amen. Rejoice in his presence. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask God that you'll take this word that's been preached tonight. Lord, in my humbling, stumbling way, Lord, of trying to preach it, may, dear God, the things maybe that I left unclear, may you clarify them, God. May, Lord, you touch the people, Lord, and maybe, Lord, even when they leave out, God, that this word, Lord, will come to them, Lord, just when they need it the most. Lord, I pray, God, for those that weren't able to be here tonight, that you touch them. If they have need of healing, I pray you give it to them. If they have need of rest, I pray you'll give it to them. Lord, touch each one. Bless our little humble assembly here, dear God. We never fail to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to sing a song. I don't know. Pages it's on, but page. I think it says 170. Where can I go, brother? Where can I go? Living below in this so sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. But temptations soar. Where could I go but to the Lord? First stop, not our last resort. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I ask you to remember me in your prayers. I'm going to leave out tomorrow, and I'll be preaching a revival. It'll be for the first week, and then the second week I'm going to take off and get some refreshed on some mountain air, and then I'll be back. And but Brother Bo is going to be here this Sunday to preach for you. I know you all enjoy Brother Bo, and Brother Bo, he says he always enjoys preaching here. And then the next weekend, why, Brother Jewel will be here. And then that week, and I'll have Brother Philnim to remind you, but that week, and I don't know the date right off, so I look real quick. Yes, it'd be Thursday the 8th. We're going to dismiss that service, Thursday the 8th. But there'll be service on Saturday the 10th at 6 o'clock, and then the Sunday morning service. So Brother Joel Forney will be here. So you're going to be in good hands. And Brother Phil won't be here this weekend, but he'll be here the weekend Brother Joel's here. He'll be here with you. And so just wanted to make those announcements. Amen. Brother Paul, could you just dismiss us in prayer, brother?